is from John, chapter 14, verses 1 to 14. It's on page 1082 of the Church Bible. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Craig. Let's pray together. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. And I'd love you to just have a look around somebody near you. And would you just pray that this message would really land on their heart this morning? So just have a look at somebody next to you, and we're going to pray that this message lands on our hearts today. Father, we want to pray for this person in front of us and for each one of us here, that we would hear you speak personally to us this morning. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Thank you that you're here, Jesus. You love your people. Amen. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. I wonder, do you know today that God cares about the state of your heart? He knows about it. He knows whether you came here in a state this morning or in a state of calm. And he really cares about your heart. He sees you. And you know what? You don't have to live with a troubled heart. So how do we do that? How, in a really troublesome world, which it is, we've just prayed a bit about our troublesome world, and we've experienced our own profound troubles. How do we be those who don't allow our hearts to be troubled? Do we need to be really stoic? Do we need to regain the British stiff upper lip, which has clearly got quite wobbly if you turn on X Factor or anything else? Do we need to deny our emotions? Is that what Jesus is talking about? Well, no, definitely, definitely not. You only need to open the Bible, open your Psalms, and there's just an outpouring of emotion. You look at Jesus weeping at the tomb of Lazarus. And we know that Jesus isn't telling us to deny our emotions. And for us, this is a time that we are grieving and we're knowing God's comfort. And it would be a terrible thing if we were trying to lock all that down and hide it. So what does Jesus mean when he says, don't let your hearts be troubled? John Piper says that Jesus is talking here about unholy turmoil. It's what Jesus describes in Luke's gospel as being weighed down by anxiety. And we are in an anxiety epidemic in our nation. There was a Cambridge report in 2016 that says that more than 8 million people in the UK suffer from some sort of anxiety disorder. One in five students struggle with severe anxiety. And you know, I see that borne out by my boys at university. They just say they are surrounded by those who struggle desperately with panic attacks and anxiety. Now, obviously, some of these will be issues that need mental health issues that need medical care, but many are just in patterns of worry, dislocated, lonely, unconnected, out of community, and it is not what God wants for his people. It's not what God wants for you. So Jesus says, don't let your heart be troubled. And the God who offers life to the full wants us to know his peace, even in the midst of our griefs and our troubles. And what does he do? He says, trust me. And maybe if you forget anything else today, I'd love you to come home and hear that ringing in your head that Jesus is saying to you, trust me. And he gives to us three amazing reasons why we can trust him. The first is, he says, trust me, I am the way. Just raise a hand if you've ever got lost. Yeah, that's pretty. Anybody not got lost? Ever? Oh, Adrian, well, we all need to follow you. Now, basically, we all need a map, and we all need to be able to read a map. And I have a bit of a thing that I really love, an OS map. And I grew up, my dad loves OS maps, and I grew up reading OS maps. And it is a deep joy to me on holiday to buy the OS map for wherever I go and plot a route. And I feel quite sneakily proud when I get a good route. I'm really quite annoyed with myself if I get it wrong. And my dad really despises a sat nav. Quite, you know, it's a deep thing. And my mum just had her 80th birthday, and he bought her a sat nav on her request. And I could feel his pain as he sort of handed it across to her. I think she's only going to be allowed to use it when he's not in the car. But, you know, Jesus didn't actually say, I'm the map. He said, I am the way. It's better than being a map. And he starts off by talking about the destination. He starts off by saying, and this is just amazing, he starts off by saying, there is a room for you in the Father's house. Now, I think deep inside, we're looking for home. Deep, deep inside, we're looking and searching for our eternal home. And, you know, we're going to be moving in July. And actually, it is okay, because all our homes are temporary. Jesus says, I've got a room for you, a permanent room for you in the Father's house. It's not a hotel room. It's actually a home. And I don't know what your home is like, but you have got a home. And that's where you're heading forever. This bit here is quite short, actually. And this is about you becoming part of the family. You get a key to the Father's house. And when we really grasp that, it really does help with our troubles, because there's a deep security in knowing that that's where we're heading, to the place where Jesus has prepared a home for us, where every tear is going to be wiped away. He says to his disciples, I'm going to make it ready, and then I'm coming back to take you there. And I love it. I really like Thomas. And he basically replies, that's all very well, Jesus, but we don't know where you're going. You know, where was Jesus going? He was talking about heaven. And I think that's quite tricky for us. You know, where is heaven? We can't put a postcode in the sat nav for heaven. And I do deeply believe heaven is a physical place. Everything about the gospel says, you know, Jesus was physical. He ate fish and chips. And heaven is going to be wonderful. We're going to be drinking the best wine, eating the best food, and it's going to be even better than here. And it's a great comfort to me to know that Trevor is there. Now, I don't know exactly what it means to you and for me that Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. But if the one who made Niagara Falls and the Lake District where I was last week is the architect and the designer, we can be filled with quite a bit of anticipation. It's going to be pretty amazing. Because God said he's making a new heaven, a new earth that's going to be even better. And I don't know if you have seen the Cosmic Eye Google image, but I just love this. So I've been longing to add it into a sermon. So this is just an excuse to do it. So hopefully, here it comes. Thanks, Mark. I'd never even heard of phantometers before. But isn't that amazing? The God who created that, us, is preparing a place for us. And that's a really reassuring word for troubled hearts, because it's going to be home. And I love it when people have said on a number of times they've come to HTR and they've had a sense of just coming home to God. I think that's so often what happens to us. But it still leaves Thomas's question. We don't know where it is exactly, so how can we know the way? It's an absolutely astounding statement, isn't it? I am the way. It's quite a shocking one and quite an offensive one in our culture. I mean, what does it actually mean? Now, the fact is that other religions have lots of steps, lots of hoops to jump to get to God. We don't. We have a person who is here today, and he's the way to heaven and the way to the Father. But isn't that a bit arrogant and exclusive to suggest that Jesus is the only way? Now, I just would love, I'm not going to spend a long time on this, because I think we have had other times we've spent, had talks on it. If some of you want to look at Tim Keller, he's brilliant on this. But actually, you know, we know that not all religions can be true because they directly contradict each other. We know, don't we, that the hate teaching of ISIS isn't truth. We know they can't all be true. And it's absolute nonsense to suggest that all religions are equally true. Now, of course, different religions contain truths. So many of their moral teachings are in common. But there is only one way to be saved. And I need a saviour. You look at the news. We need a saviour. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. And how wonderful it is that God, in his great love, has provided a way for us to come home to the Father. That's how much he loves us. And maybe some of you here know you took that step of coming to the way. Maybe you feel you've never really taken it. Don't wait. Maybe you just feel you've lost God. You've lost sight of him. He's here and he says, I am the way. I think as I've sort of traveled around speaking in different places, one of the things that really strikes me is how many Christians there are who spend their time struggling with feeling a bit guilty and a bit rubbish. And I think Satan continues to be the accuser. He continues to try and make us feel that, you know, if we're actually in church, he'll then make us feel a bit rubbish about being in church. And people sit in church feeling they haven't done quite enough to get to God. They haven't quite made the grade, and it leaves a deep anxiety. It leaves us with troubled hearts, and that's not what God wants for you. I don't know if any of you endured the freezing cold of watching The Passion play in Richmond. You really do deserve a prize. Connor deserves such a prize for standing in that miniskirt as a Roman soldier. We thought Johnny looked like something out of a Carry On film, actually. But, you know, in the midst of that cold and the wet of the Passion, there were some moments that were so deeply moving. And seeing Christ raised on a cross just brought home a little bit of the reality of what that means, that all my sins, all your sins were taken on him. And you know, God would not have given himself on a cross if there had been another way. And today, it's really important that you know you don't need a way to get to God, to get to Jesus. We don't need a way to the way. It's like sometimes we think we've got to do something to get to Jesus, but he's just standing here saying, all you have to do is turn to me, because I am the way, the one you need. Trust me. And maybe you're here today thinking, well, I just don't know everything about Jesus, so I might not be properly saved. I need to know everything about him. I need to know him really well to be saved. And I really love it that Abraham in the Old Testament, we're told he was made righteous by faith, and he didn't even know Jesus' name. So if you are reaching out with faith to a loving God, you don't have to have everything taped. Because every time we reach out to the Father, he runs to meet us. Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I am the way. And then he says, don't let your hearts be troubled. I am the truth. Now, I reckon there's probably always been a bit of fake news around, but it is pretty bad now. We all feel a bit like, what on earth can I trust? I had an interview last week with an American radio station, and it was a bit of a, you know, it wasn't my easiest interview, because the chap I was talking to was really convinced that London's more or less been taken over by Muslims. So he's obviously been watching a bit of fake news. In the era of fake news, it is hard to know what to trust, and it makes us anxious. We're in an era where much faith and trust in authority has broken down, and Jesus says, trust me, I am the truth. For some of us, we know that we've been let down in relationships. And what's so encouraging is Jesus didn't just mean that everything he said was true, although, of course, it is. When he says, I am the truth, he's talking about the truth of his commitment to you. And when you deeply grasp that, it will touch the troubled places of your heart. The truth here is about faithfulness. So in the Old Testament, it often talks about God's faithfulness. And here, the term truth just kind of replaces it in the New Testament. Jesus is saying to us that we can trust him deeply because he is true to us. And I loved it that we sung, never let go. You'll never let me down. You'll never let me go. Because if you have been let down by somebody who's true to you, one of my relatives, just in the last couple of weeks, his fiancé slept with someone. Devastating. And these devastations, these breakdowns of trust, they happen. But God will not break his trust to you. As Hudson Taylor said, having faith in God means holding God's faithfulness. I really love that. So the effectiveness and strength of our faith are bound up with the greatness and dependability of God in whom we trust. And so much of what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, I'm the way to the Father and I am the truth about the Father, the truth about the faithfulness of the Father. And I'd love it if you'd take some time this week to read this chapter, because God is so faithful to father you. He's chosen you to be his child forever, and he wants you to know that you can be so deeply secure in that truth, that he will be faithful even when you are faithless. And you see, when we get that, we begin to dare to pray some really big prayers. Jesus says, come in my name and I'm going to do what you want, because you've begun to get the spirit of being a child of God. You've begun to get something of what it means to come to God as your daddy and see life-changing, amazing, groundbreaking prayers answered. And I was thinking about, you know, examples of great prayers, miracles that I've seen. And I have seen God do some amazing things. I've seen God heal people. But I was thinking, do you know my favorite miracles? Actually, a lot of them have been sitting here in church. I just love it that there are people here that we've prayed for. I look at Ian, I think of us praying for Ian, and here he is. I think of us praying for Jake, and, you know, Jake coming to faith. I think of us praying for Penny, you know, person after person, Frixos, Dave. You know, it's amazing, isn't it, that we've prayed and we've seen God transform lives, because that's what he does. So maybe today, you know, there's somebody you've been praying for and God's just wanting to spark, ignite faith in your heart that you are a child of his and you're not to let your hearts be troubled by what's going on in the lives around you. But start to dare to pray some really big prayers. Don't let your hearts be troubled. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, says Jesus. Now, that last one is one absolutely massive claim. It's a claim that we cannot be indifferent to Christ. As C.S. Lewis said, he is either mad, bad, or God. He is claiming to be the life. And that means what matters more than anything else is, do you know him today? I see people just worrying all the time about so many different things. And I'll be quite honest, I join them. I don't want to pretend I am immune to this. We worry about what we eat. We worry about whether it's healthy. It's deeply upsetting to hear in the last couple of weeks that bacon is so bad for us. I have started to scatter bird food on my porridge. We worry, don't we, about our lives. But a far more pressing question is, do you know the one who is the way, the truth, and the life? What are you putting your trust in as you wake up every morning? We celebrated my mum's 80th yesterday, and it was a really special day. And she stood up and she said, in 1954 in Haringey, Billy Graham gave a talk that she responded to. And she said, I just heard two things. I heard that Jesus loves me and Jesus wants me. I kind of think if you get that, you will have a level of security that means you won't have a troubled heart. And this isn't a kind of knowing. We can't just know Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, but not really absorb it and know him. And that's my prayer today, is that you wouldn't just know about him, that Jesus is inviting you to trust him personally, to wake up every day and know he's right there to walk through your day with you. If you imagine for a moment a child from an abusive family who hears that they have been adopted and they know that there is a good father waiting for them, I think there'd be a measure of, you know, excitement and happiness. But then imagine they're just still living in the same house where they were, with the same abuse. And sometimes I think we're a bit like that as Christians. We're still living in the old place of the old agony of guilt or shame or fear. And what a difference when they actually meet their adopted dad, actually discover that they are deeply, profoundly loved. You're so welcomed into the Father's house, and that's what God wants us to live like. And it was such a radical revelation for those first hearers to dare to call God their Father. But it's equally radical for us to actually live as those who are deeply, profoundly loved by the Father. I don't know if you feel you're living like that, but that's the invitation this morning. Before he died, Jesus prayed to the Father that the love with which you have loved me may be in them. That's us. That's the knowledge that the Father wants for us. That's the life that the Father has for us, one where we know the love of the Father so filling us that it overflows. That's the life to the fullness promised in John 10. How do we know it? Put your trust in him. So simple. Jesus says to you and to me today, don't let your hearts be troubled. You know, in our lives at the moment, there's so much that could trouble me. And I've loved preparing this talk and just hearing the Father saying, put your trust in God and put your trust in me. Why? Because I'm the way to the Father, the faithful truth about the Father, and I am the life of the Father's love for you. Jesus is here. He's so present. Let's just stand. And I'm just doing that because sometimes it's good for us to just stretch our legs. And we're just going to welcome the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of adoption, the one who enables us to know the love of the Father for us, to know Jesus standing before us. And we're just going to have a moment where you can bring your heart before God and say again to him, I put my trust in you. That the Father is here. The Son is here. The Spirit is here. So, Father, I pray that you would pour out that Spirit of adoption again amongst your people this morning. Thank you that you care about the state of every heart here. You know the things that trouble us, and nothing's too big for you. You know, Lord, the way ahead where we don't. And thank you, we can trust you that you are the way. And in the quiet, I'm just going to leave a moment of quiet as the Holy Spirit moves for you to offer your life again to the Lord and trust him that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I believe Jesus wants to impart gifts of faith this morning. That he's already been doing that, but he really wants to give a fresh gift of faith to his people today. So, Father, would you do that? Would you just release gifts of faith into every heart here today? Thank you, Jesus. And as we come to share communion together, Jesus was made known in the breaking of the bread. And I think for some of you here, there's going to be a special moment as you take the bread and just know, again, the sacrifice made for you. Thank you, Father. Amen. Please do sit down.